Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Richmond. It's 12 noon, and I'm AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, coming to you live and local here in Richmond, Virginia, on a Wednesday, November 26th. We are in the middle of Feast Week. Hope everybody has a great Wednesday night. If you're going out to the bars, make sure you be safe. I know this is the biggest drinking day of the year, and I hope everybody has a fantastic Thanksgiving on Thursday. Quick programming note. So we will be live and local here until 1:45. That's when the Good Feet Store tip-off show begins. No AWOD radio Thursday, but you'll hear me for VCU basketball pregame and halftime, as well as Friday as well. And then you will hear us Saturday morning on our DC show right here on 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM, from 9 to noon. This is Richmond's home for VCU basketball, and I am taking you up to tip-off. The Rams are in the Bahamas, in paradise, and they're going to take on South Florida in the first round of the Battle for Atlantis. We're going to talk through all things college basketball, last night's latest college football playoff rankings, and the National Football League until 1:45. That's when the Good Feet Store tip-off show takes over, and it's all things VCU Rams. Rodney Ashby, the color analyst of VCU basketball, will join us on the show today, and we will do a Bill Roth, Cowan Gates Hokies update with the voice of Virginia Tech football, and they've got a big one this weekend. Virginia Tech at UVA for all the marbles. There are three NFL games to preview on Thanksgiving and a Black Friday game. A full Sunday slate, including Sunday Night Football with the Commanders and Monday Night Football to preview on today's show. But you know how we like to start the show every day, by catching you up on anything you might have missed around the sports world when we open up the sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K. This one.
The sports app.
So my biggest complaint with the issue in the college football playoff rankings has been Miami and Notre Dame having the same record, and Miami being behind Notre Dame, although they have the head-to-head win. Here's the ESPN panel discussing Notre Dame and Miami.
Miami moving ahead of Utah. I think that was significant from this week. And the other part of this, too, Hunter Yurecek told us they are now comparing them. They are now swimming in the same water. They're in that comparative pool. And they said, no, the head-to-head doesn't matter. We think Notre Dame is that much better. I think that is very significant coming out of tonight.
I need to talk to Hunter, by the way.
But can I say this, Dusty, I think it matters, just not enough.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're ignoring it. You know what I mean?
It's not enough to put them over because they feel that Notre Dame is clearly on a different level right now with where they are as a complete team than Miami.
And my response to that has been, why are you playing the games? Simply, why are you playing the games? Because a head-to-head should absolutely matter most. We'll see what happens after the season's all said and done, but as Miami gets closer and closer to Notre Dame, I think you have to take that head-to-head into the considerations. How can Michigan make the college football playoffs? Are they in simply with a win over their rival, the number one seed, Ohio State? Let's take a listen.
The team that wasn't on your screen in that bracket was number 15, Michigan. Do not forget about the Wolverines because they can get the best win in the country on Saturday if they can beat Ohio State. They've done this before. That's just in. They can play for the Big Ten title if they beat Ohio State and either Oregon or Indiana loses. If that happens, I don't think Ohio State would drop too far. A first-round bye could be up for grabs. More importantly, how far does Michigan climb? Don't forget, they lost to Oklahoma, so I think they would at least be stuck behind the Sooners.
Let's get to the full college football rankings, and who will be in at that G5 spot? Look, I want it to be JMU. We have been making the case for JMU, but the college football committee seems to put the American over JMU. The American winner over the JMU Dukes. Here's Roman Harper.
It was the fact that Oregon beat USC. They only dropped two spots. USC, sorry. And usually when teams lose, they drop more than two spots. So they keep them there to kind of prop up the decision to make Oregon go up over Ole Miss. And now they kind of set to the SEC versus SEC type of matchup in the first round of playoffs. I don't really care to see that. I would like to see other conferences kind of mix it in. And then last thing I would say is, Tulane, you tell us that Tulane is the 24th best team in the country. No, 24th best team in the country. Yet, they are going to make the playoffs as a 12 seed. I just hate that, the way it looks. Lie to us. Tell us they're better than that. I just hate putting them all the way at 24. Just say they're 12.
Let's move over to College Hoops on the Sports app. This is Feast Week, and the battle for Atlantis has tipped off. Vanderbilt and Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky up 5-2 on Vanderbilt. 2 minutes have been played on ESPN. If VCU wins, they would face off against the winner of this game. If they lose, they would see the loser of this matchup. So we will keep track of that one in the battle for Atlantis. Games are going on across the country right now. Bryant, Phil Martelli Jr.'s old school, is blowing out Mercy. Bowling Green with a halftime lead on VMI, and St. Francis up early on Troy, as there are going to be games played all day long, and including like a night one. I remember I watched a game last night that I think tipped off at midnight. Yeah, there are three games that will tip off at midnight tonight. Maryland, Alabama, Boise State, Chaminade, and Utah State against Ole Miss. Yesterday, we had a couple of great games that I wanted to get to. Cal takes down UCLA. Day-Day Ames puts down UCLA with a late three in Cal's upset.
Day-Day Ames on a step-back three. Yes, sir!
You had Grand Canyon upset Utah in the late game, 68-58. And so there were some good college basketball games. Of course, we are locked into the battle for Atlantis, but not just because of VCU hoops, but also the Virginia Tech Hokies, who have been off to an incredible start. They're 5-0 on the season, led by the 22-year-old freshman out of Greece, Neokalis Avdalis. They also have our former center, Toby Lawau. And they are 5-0. They will face off against Colorado State in their first round of the Battle for Atlantis today at 5 p.m. Over to the NBA on the Sports app. The Wizards did it. They did it. The Wizards win. They win. They win their first ever NBA Cup group stage play victory. A win for the Wizards in the NBA Cup over the Atlanta Hawks. Let's get to the highlights. Oh, that's the good stuff. The radio party with Dave Johnson on the call. Alex Saar off of good defense. It's a three. Let's take a listen to the call.
13 on the clock. Feed downloaded. Johnson broken up by Kispert. Johnson backs in top of the restricted arc. Left corner Okongwu for three off the back of the iron. No good defense by the Wizards. 71-53 our score. McCollum left the circle. Rock of the cradle. Cuts to his left. Bounce past Saar. Top of the arc. Out front for three. It's there! It finds a home for the Wizards. 12-3, 74-53.
C.J. McCollum led the Washington Wizards. He had 46 points, hitting 10 of 13 from long range. McCollum block. McCollum three to a Kispert block.
There is a three-second difference shot clock, game clock. Shot clock at 9. McCollum cuts to his right, guarded by Daniels. Step back three. Oh, it's there! Oh! It is just flaming. Driving to the basket. Kispert the block on Alexander Walker.
And the Wizards win 132-113. You got 27 points and 11 rebounds from Alex Saar. He's the star of the show because McCollum, yeah, he got up 46 points. We love it because he will be traded around the deadline. It's all about building around the young stars. Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Saar, Cam Whitmore, Bob Carrington, Trey Johnson, who's currently out with a hip injury. He will be out for multiple weeks. Here's Dave Johnson with the final call.
6 seconds left. The Wizards are going to say goodbye to this 14-game losing streak. Get out of here.
Yep. And the first win ever for a cup game, Emirates Cup game. That's a nice feeling. It's a joyful moment here at Capital One Arena.
Lakers over the Clippers in their NBA Cup game, and the Magic and 76ers squared off, and Andre Drummond decides to square up as things get chippy in the Magic victory. Let's take a listen to the call.
For one with 14 seconds separating shot clock and game clock. And now we've got, oh, look out. Andre Drummond and Wendell Carter squaring up. Drummond calling for it. Now Suggs gets in there, and they've got to get careful here. Mark Davis got in between. You've got Jamal Mosley on the floor. Jabari Walker has squared up with Suggs. This had a chance to get ugly fast, and the officials have gotten in between it in a hurry. Both coaches on the floor. Smartly, both benches stay by their respective benches, and Andre Drummond is just going to cheer on this entire arena here in Philly. Jalen Suggs is still barking back at the Philadelphia side.
I have a feeling Andre Drummond is going to get himself suspended. Let's move over to the NFL on the sports app. 3 Thursday night games and a Black Friday game. Of course, a full Sunday slate that includes the Commanders on Sunday Night Football and a Monday night matchup between the 2-10 Giants and the 10-2 New England Patriots. We're going to preview all three of the Thanksgiving games today. I'll tell you right now, I do think that first game is probably your two-star matchup. That second game has to be your three-star with the star power in Kansas City and the Cowboys on their last life. Both teams really on their last life, and your one-star game would be the Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. Kicks off at 8:20 tomorrow night on Thanksgiving. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on The Fan.
Bring home a winter wonderland. Shop Lowe's limited-time doorbuster deals during Black Friday to save big on holiday staples. Show your cheer with select 2-quart poinsettias for $6 and shine and shimmer with 100-count holiday living incandescent string lights, now 4 for $10. Then get a fresh-cut Christmas tree, now 25% off. Your holiday list lives at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offers valid through 12-1. Poinsettias and fresh-cut trees in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most college football talk in town, your home for the Hokies, your home for the Hoos, who meet on Saturday in the latest Commonwealth Clash, and it's going to be a good one. I know it's going to be a packed crowd, and if UVA wins, they will get into the ACC championship game in Charlotte, keep their hopes live of making the CFP. Joining us right now is Michael Phillips for a segment we call Crosstalk on the Fan.
If I could just have your attention.
It's Crosstalk with Adam Epstein and Michael Phillips on the Fan. It's like that one 90s movie that everybody loved. What's the name of that movie? It's not Crosstalk, but it sounds like Crosstalk. It's Crosstalk on the Fan. Oh, Face Off with Travolta and Nick Cage. But this is Crosstalk.
Michael, what's up, dude?
Feeling great. What a fun weekend of football ahead.
Absolutely. And this has become a Wednesday tradition now on AWOD Radio. The committee puts out the 12-team college football playoffs. Michael and I debate it. You know, let's start with the JMU Dukes. How do they get in?
Yeah, I think they win both games. I really do. Tulane sitting in that spot. A lot of shaking out still to go in the American. North Texas kind of maybe has an inside track to some of that. There's so much shaking out there. Navy, of course, plays the Army-Navy game, so that's one we'll have to watch, you know, how that impacts things. I think that JMU, if they win their last two, beat Coastal this week, win in the title game against maybe Southern Miss, I think that will be enough to get them in as the 12th seed.
I love that you're dancing for the Dukes, but we're having the same conversation a week later after, once again, they were not put in. And well, that was their big statement win against a non-P4 opponent, right?
No, nothing changed this week. Tulane beat Washington State. JMU beat Washington State. So why would you change the rankings? Like, nothing has changed in the last 7 days.
So then why would it change 7 days later?
It will change 14 days later, not this weekend, because this isn't enough. But when they win a title game, and when the American has North Texas come out on top, or whoever, or Navy instead of Tulane, things will change, and all of a sudden JMU will look the best of the non-power teams.
Yeah, I love your optimism, man. I love your positivity. I just don't see it. The committee is setting themselves up for Tulane versus North Texas, and you win and you're in that game, and JMU would be the odd man out.
Well, there's a lot of tiebreaker scenarios, right, to work out in the American, because there's five teams still in contention there. Navy's at 6-1, North Texas is at 6-1, Tulane's at 6-1. Tulane and North Texas, I believe, have the inside track on those two spots. I don't think it's a given that they're going to be participating in this game. I think there's a lot of football left to play. If the Dukes keep their head down, handle their business, they're going to pick up two very nice wins and look really attractive to this committee on the final week.
Oh, my goodness. Man, you every single day the cup of coffee is just half full, right, no matter what. But this is unbelievable, Michael. North Texas is 10-1 and 6-1. They're going to blow out Temple and we're going to be looking at North Texas versus Tulane.
And if North Texas wins, JMU will make the playoff. Now, I agree with you that if Tulane handles its business the rest of the way, they will probably get the nod in the sense that you don't shake up the apple cart. We got two competitive football games left to go here. I don't think it's a given at all that Tulane wins both of them.
No, but if you're telling me if North Texas is 12-1 and the champion of the American, you're holding them out for Notre Dame.
That's correct.
For JMU.
That is what I'm telling you the committee is going to do. I'm not actually on the committee, Adam, but I'm explaining to you that this is an eye test committee, and by the eye test, JMU is a better football team than North Texas. They will be in there. North Texas has the Washington State win that everybody seems to have these days. They lost to South Florida. They beat Navy. I don't understand who else they've got here that would be impressive.
Yeah, except for that they are the champion of their conference and they have one loss. And JMU would be also with one loss.
So by that logic, UVA is better than Miami because UVA has fewer losses than Miami.
No, I don't think they look at the P4 the same they look at the G5.
I don't think they look at the G5. Like, you're talking G5 standings. Like,
why didn't they put JMU in at 25 over Arizona?
I think they are fully committed to making sure an ACC team gets a playoff bid this year. They had to stuff all those ACC teams into the 20 through 25 range because they absolutely do not under any circumstance want a scenario where you can say JMU is ranked above the ACC champion, so you should leave the ACC out entirely. That would be disaster for this whole situation.
No, but the way that I could see it playing, the only way JMU gets in my mind, and we talked about this yesterday, is if the American champion is voted ahead of ACC champion. And then they get in and JMU gets in.
So JMU and the American champion would get in and the ACC champ would be left out?
That's the only scenario I see possible.
There's no chance that this whole industry, which has been built on this billion-dollar thing, is going to leave the ACC out. That feels like the least plausible scenario to me, is that the committee, which is made up of power conference ADs, gets in a room and says, you know what we should do? We should leave one of our own out of this thing.
Right. I understand what you're saying. But that's the only way that JMU can get in. Tell me another way that JMU can get in here when the rankings have come out the last 3 weeks. They haven't been included.
Well, the way I've been suggesting, so I'll suggest it one more time here, would be North Texas winning the American Championship and JMU winning the Sun Belt Championship and the committee understanding JMU is a better team and putting them ahead in the final rankings.
Okay. So you need North Texas to beat Tulane in the championship.
Or Navy. Yeah, just not Tulane. Like, if Tulane handles its business, it's clearly theirs to lose. But if North Texas or Navy wins the American championship, I think JMU makes the playoffs.
Okay, so we are on the same page that if Tulane wins out, they will be in as the American champion over a JMU team with one last loss.
I think it would be very hard for the committee to reverse course and say, just kidding, we don't believe in these rankings we've given you for the last 3 weeks.
Right, so then we go back to the original question, how does JMU get in? The answer is they need help. They need help.
Okay, they can't provide their own help. Only thing they can do is win two football games. Win two football games, let the chips fall where they may. I got 2 out of 3 chances here. I feel great about that. I think they're playing really good football. I think they get a statement win at Coastal. And they're hosting Friday night, primetime. We're all going to be watching Sun Belt title game. I think America's going to be impressed by the football they play. And I go back to that Louisville game. Man, if they had just settled on Alonzo Barnett as their quarterback a little earlier in the season, I think they win that game. Sluka was so rough in that game. They knew he was going to run every time he came in. If they had committed to Barnett, just those little decisions early in the year, I truly think they'd be in the driver's seat right now.
I mean, they were dominant in the first half of that game. It's really disappointing looking back that they lost. Let me give you a scenario. BYU wins their final game. BYU beats Texas Tech in the Big 12 championship. How far does the current 5th-ranked team fall?
Yeah, this is. I got three games I'm really watching this weekend for those purposes. One is that, right? If BYU wins, are there two Big 12 teams in, and who do they kick out as a result? I think that would be fascinating to see because you would have to kick out an SEC team to make room for a second Big 12 team. I don't know if the committee's got the guts to do it, but it sure feels like they're setting up that they would have to do it with Texas Tech at 5 with that win already in their back pocket. Committee really needs Texas Tech to win. You got Oklahoma at LSU. Would they drop Oklahoma out with a loss to LSU? That'd be a big fall for them, big fall for the SEC, but it would crack open the spot for Miami. Other thing I'm watching is Alabama. I assume they handle their business against Auburn, Adam, but if they lose the SEC title game, they don't have a mega compelling case other than we were in the SEC title game.
Yeah, and that's why I go back to my statement all along has been you cannot punish a team for playing that extra game.
Yeah.
But it's setting up for Alabama will be at the cut line, and if they lose that title game, you might have to put them on the outside. And I mean, that's just going to make people go crazy, especially those in Roll Tide.
We saw last year they were very, very hesitant to give a championship game penalty. That's why SMU got in.
Yeah.
I don't think the committee's going to enforce a title game penalty. I think Alabama could be on the cut line, could lose in the SEC title game, and could still keep their spot. And I think that'd make a lot of people in the other conferences mad.
Yeah, because I think in that scenario there, you would then have to kick out Texas Tech for not winning the Big 12.
Which would make that, if they would be furious, hey, we're getting punished for that game, right? If the Big 12 hadn't staged a title game, Texas Tech would have been in. They staged the game, they lose. Alabama jumps them by losing their game. It's a lot of politics when you get to this point. I think Oklahoma losing to LSU is probably the game that would free up the spot for Miami to jump in, and obviously Miami handling its business at Pitt.
And then lastly, I think the game is Michigan-Ohio State. The 15th ranked team who just jumped up three spots. If they beat the number one overall team, will they jump up five spots? Because I think they would have to get to number 10 with the cut line changing.
Is it funny to think that they almost get punished for always beating Ohio State? Because normally it'd be this huge win, like we beat the number one team in the country. But it's kind of this weird thing where like, yeah, that's what Michigan does. They go beat Ohio State. Like, I don't know that it makes it less impressive, but certainly it makes it harder for them to crack my top 10. I think the door's shut to Michigan even with a win.
Ooh, see, that's just going to be so tough. I mean, I think it also looks, it also comes down to the eye test. How do they look in the victory, right? Like if Texas blows out Texas A&M, that becomes a statement win that you now have to consider Texas, even though I thought they should have been eliminated.
It just feels like every year we're talking about an Alabama team that probably shouldn't be in, that's finding its way in. It just seems to be the crux of every argument we ever have about this thing.
Yeah, and like you said with Vanderbilt, I wonder, if they sneak by LSU, can they drop a spot in a win?
It's really hard, right? And then, you know, if you have Miami as first team out and Notre Dame as number 8 or 9, you're going to have everybody yelling about this head-to-head situation. That's not going to calm anybody down.
Yeah, I know. It drove me crazy yesterday when they were breaking down how the head-to-head matters, just not as much as some of the other stuff. Really?
And then he's doing his 6-7 bit. Like, take this seriously. Like, it's college football. Like, this is not your open mic hour.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard him say that, I immediately said, please lose your job. I mean, just so embarrassing.
Deeply unserious.
Just trying to be one of the kids. Like, oh, my goodness. What does he think? He's Jonathan Vilma now?
That's the exact person I thought of when he did that. I mean, we're way past even it being cringy. It's whatever the next step is in that path. It's gotten a little out of control.
That's Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, Monday through Friday from 10 to 12 noon. I'm AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or dsw.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome back. It's AWOD Radio here on a Wednesday, November 26th. It's Feast Week. The Rams are in the Bahamas. The battle for Atlantis, they'll take on South Florida today at 2:30, which means the Good Feet Store tip-off show starts at 1:45 before handing off to Robbie Robinson and Rodney Ashby. Rodney Ashby is with us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. What's up, man?
Oh, man, doing well. Sitting here watching the Vandy-Western Kentucky game and some good basketball already going back and forth right now. Vandy's got West Kentucky by five, but it's been a back-and-forth game all day.
Paint us a picture of the building, the environment. What is the depth perception going to be like there for the Rams playing this court?
Oh, I mean, the depth perception is going to be amazing. You know, the sight lines are really good. You're not playing in a big open cavernous type super arena or anything like that. It's basically a ballroom that they've redone into a basketball facility, and it's absolutely gorgeous the way they have it set up. The ceilings are pointing high. They've got the scoreboards in the corners. Other than the fact that you know it's in a ballroom, because when you walk in, you're walking in from like a conference center type situation. I mean, you wouldn't even know it's a hotel.
Rodney, when we talked to the coach yesterday at his press conference, he thought that VCU and South Florida really mirrored each other in their style of play. What's your scouting report on this opponent?
Yeah, I think that's so. I mean, the three games that they've won so far, they've scored at least 100 points. And, you know, they're going to try to get up and down the court as well. They've played three opponents that they should have beaten, and they beat all three of them. And then they lost to our conference foe, George Washington, and then also Oklahoma State. So, you know, very comparable as far as the way we play. They're very athletic. They're long. You know, they're strong. It's going to be, you know, which team can put it together with all these awesome, amazing athletes and play as a team, because the team is always going to be greater than the single individual player.
Where do you think the Rams' momentum is at right now? I thought that was a terrific tune-up game against Coppin State. I loved how often they got to the free throw line. It was good to see them knock those down. How do you think they're feeling momentum and confidence coming into this game?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think they feel pretty good. Even with our loss against Utah State and the other loss against NC State, they came out of that seeing some glimpses of, look, we've got what it takes to be a really, really good team this year. We just need a few more reps. And coming out of the blowout win against Coppin State the other night, a lot of guys got to play. A lot of guys got to get some points up on the board. And so they're feeling good. This is a resilient bunch, and the staff is doing a very good job of, you know, holding them accountable, encouraging them, and keeping their confidence at an all-time high.
Yeah, and I thought that the second half of the defense against NC State and the whole defense against Coppin State was locked in, and I think they're going to need to be locked in against this South Florida team that can score 100 points. What do you look for to notice that, hey, it does look like we're locked in defensively? What are you looking for?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, when you say locked in defensively, it doesn't mean that we need to go for a steal every single possession. We just need to hit solid singles and doubles in our defensive stance, stand between our man and the ball. We can't go for home run steals every single time. So that's point one. Point two is one and done. After the shot's up, everybody's got to box out, take their assignment, and go up and get the ball. And if we are doing those two things, I feel really good. I mean, I think that our rotations are really good, as long as we don't have to get into our constant fix-its. state. Once we get into that state, you know, these teams are just too good to for them at some point not to expose it.
Yeah, and then the Rams, when they get the team to just one shot, they pull down the rebound, and they can get out and run. We've seen how good this team can be with that up-tempo, fast-paced offense, and, you know, every rebound can turn into a fast break. And I just love how everybody that gets the ball can kind of really put the ball on the deck and dribble it. Even Keyshawn Mitchell with his extended minutes now with Christian Furman absent. I just love the speed and the athleticism of the Rams, and they're so deep. That should really help them in a format that's 3 games in 3 days.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the transition of defense is going to be at the top of everybody's scouting report. And what you're starting to see now that we're having more reps and more practice time is a secondary scoring opportunity off that transition break, fast break. And that once that comes into full play, Rams are going to be very, very difficult to stop, because we do have so many people that can come and dribble, really 1 through 4, and depending on who's playing the 5, can take the ball off the board and shoot it down and create almost like a hockey power play coming down the court.
Rodney, you know as good as I do that in the last few years, these MTEs have been disappointing with a loss in the first game, and it's so crucial to get off to a good start and get into the winner's bracket. I feel like this year is different than other years that in the fact that we've taken some tough losses already that might have us battle-tested for the battle for Atlantis.
No, I agree. A lot of times we've come into these playing more of a get-ready type schedule, and this time that's not the case. I mean, we've had multiple games that were, you know, difficult, whether it was Villanova or NC State or Utah State, you know, and all of those on the road, you know, so that's a big get-ready type situation, because playing at the Stew in front of our fans is an extra advantage without a doubt. But when you're on the road and you're learning how to play on the road and sometimes what could be a stale environment, it's something that you can take with you into these MTEs. And these MTEs, all of these guys have a lot of playing experience. We just haven't played a lot together, but that playing experience will shine through in an MTE situation like this.
Rodney Ashby with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. You'll hear him on the call alongside Robbie Robinson today with a 2:30 tip-off against South Florida in the battle for Atlantis. Ram Nation's been loving what they've seen from Barry Evans in the last 2 games. Name one VCU Ram that needs to step up for us to be successful in the Bahamas.
I think it's going to have to be like a Terrell Roy or a Bam Chasey type person. We're going to have some, and it doesn't have to be that same guy all 3 games, but I think one of those two guys need to step up and give us some scoring and give us a little defensive spark in order for us to be successful down here in the Bahamas.
Yeah, I mean, Tyrell Ward's shot, he gets it off so quick. It just feels like he's going to have one of these games where he hits back-to-back-to-back threes and all of a sudden takes over a game.
And look, you said it. It's coming. I mean, him and Bam Tracy are phenomenal scorers, and they can shoot the ball. And if they knock down their first couple, they make it even tougher to guard because they both have the ability to get to the basket as well.
How are the Rams, you think, going to use this tournament to get closer as a team? Do you know if they're going to have a team dinner for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, actually, we had it on Monday night when we came. We were talking with the coaching staff, and Thanksgiving is always kind of a holiday that a lot of times college basketball doesn't get to celebrate because we're always playing, in one of these types of tournaments. And this is an opportunity on Monday night for us all to get together before the real work gets to start. So we flew in. We landed about 5 o'clock, had a nice team dinner at 7:30 of all your traditional Thanksgiving fare. It was really, really nice event. The families of the coaches were there, and it just was a great event. And you can tell how close this team is, and it's not even split up into cliques. Like a lot of times in yesteryears, you'd see the upperclassmen hanging with the upperclassmen and the underclassmen hanging out with the underclassmen. That's just not the case. It's all mixed in, and you can tell they just have good vibes all the way around.
What was the best side dish served?
Oh, Mr. Macaroni and Cheese, to the point that they started portioning it out about halfway through the dinner. They're like, "Whoa, we better start serving this macaroni and cheese." It was off the chain.
That's awesome. Well, Rodney, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be taking a listen tonight with a 2:30 p.m. tip-off.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon, A-Rod. Appreciate you.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. You know, when you look at the Thanksgiving Thursday slate in the NFL, it always includes the Detroit Lions. I'm sure Michael Phillips knows the answer to this. Like, why Detroit hosts on Thanksgiving every year. I've heard the story before. I don't really care about it. I just know growing up, every Thanksgiving Thursday, I would watch the Lions get their pants ripped off. I mean, they would get destroyed every year. Things have changed since Dan Campbell took over. I'm fired up for this Lions-Packers game with a playoff spot on the line and still division championship up for grabs with Chicago just 8-3, just a half game ahead of both of those teams. It's time to go around the NFL here on NFL Hits.
Every regular season matchup, every head coach on the hot seat, the hit stories in the NFL. NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
So Packers-Lions is your 1 o'clock Thanksgiving game on Fox. 4:30, that's usually when I will gather around the dinner table and eat my turkey, but we'll have Chiefs-Cowboys on the TV in the living room, and then your late game is Bengals-Ravens. I ranked them on the sports app. Jay Money, do you agree? 3-star Chiefs-Cowboys, 2-star Lions-Packers, 1-star Ravens-Bengals.
Yep, 100% agree with you there.
Friday. Great game. 3-star game, Bears-Eagles from the link. Like we said, depending on the outcome of Thursday's game, the Bears will be playing to hold on to first place in their own division. And the Eagles, I believe, could clinch if the Cowboys lose, and they were to get the win. Full Sunday slate with some really decent matchups there, including Sunday night that is Washington hosting the Broncos from Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland. Monday night is a total dud game, though. Unless you're a fan of the Super Bowl we had 10 years ago, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, Giants against the New England Patriots. I mean, Jeremy, what are you looking for out of the Giants here in the final 6-7 games of the season?
I just want to see them play like they've been playing. Like, they have been in a lot of these games. That's not something you can say about a lot of bad teams that are in the Giants' position right now. They've been in these games. I want to see the defense hold strong a little bit in the fourth quarter, and I want to see the offense continue to play the way that they have, even without a lot of their top weapons.
Yeah, I'm not sure they can make any more changes. They fired their coach, then they fired their defensive coordinator, as they have lost 6 straight. And at least the last 3, they have had a fourth quarter lead. Going through the Sunday slate, though, here are the 3-star games, 2-star, 1-star, and your dud. 49ers-Browns is a 1-star game. I'm interested in seeing Shador again, but I expect this to be a very difficult test for him against a Niners defense that's humming. Jaguars-Titans is a dud of a game right there. Texans-Colts is 3 stars. That is an awesome game inside a division that does seem like it's still up for grabs. With the Jags battling, Texans and Colts will meet from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. I will pick the Colts to win that game. Saints-Dolphins is a dud. I guess the Dolphins are not eliminated. Owen's picking them in our survivor pool. He's just doing everything he can to hand us his money, and we kind of love him for it. But maybe he'll survive this weekend. Dolphins Saints is a dud game. Falcons Jets is a dud game. Cardinals at the Bucks is a complete dud, especially with Baker's injury. Rams Panthers, that's a 3-star matchup, and I am just so confused about what I've seen from the Panthers this season. I feel like they should have no shot to win this game, but yet they've pulled off some stunners already this year, like their win in Lambeau against the Packers, and they are hosting the Rams. This is a sneaky line that I would stay away from. LA minus 10.5? You kidding me? The home team giving 10.5 points there? Something is funky about that one. I don't like the way it smells. Vikings, Seahawks. one-star game. I expect Seattle to really win that one. Bills, Steelers, three-star game. I cannot wait for that one. I am expecting Aaron Rodgers against Josh Allen from Heinz Field, what is now called AccuSure Stadium in Pittsburgh. Raiders, Chargers is a dud game right there. Chargers' schedule has really helped them out this season, giving them some games that they need to win in a moment where they absolutely need a victory here. I mean, just it seems like with that loss to the Jags, all right, that they are going to be the team that misses out if Kansas City gets hot. Kansas City's now just a game behind the LA Chargers, and they've got a game against them to be played in 3 weeks here. So the Chargers need this one, definitely against the Vegas Raiders. Broncos, Commanders, and like we said, the dud game is your late game. Updating everyone on our Odyssey NFL Survivor Pool. We are still down to the final four. It is Owen, Jenny, myself, and Jeremy. Will you be taking a game on Thursday or Friday, or will you be waiting for the Sunday slate?
I will be waiting for the Sunday slate. I believe, and this is not an official pick, I believe I'm going with the Chargers right now.
Why is that? Because it's the Raiders?
Going against the Raiders, I've used a lot of the big teams that have other bad matchups already, and I think that's the one that's sticking out to me.
Yeah, no, I like that pick right there. I might be interested in taking Denver, just picking against Washington and Marcus Mariota. But the Chargers seems like a really good pick. Seattle is another interesting one right there. And then if you want to be a little wild, you would take San Francisco over Shador Sanders and the Cleveland Browns. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So Packers-Lions tomorrow at 1 p.m. I'm expecting that to be a really, really good game. Chiefs, Cowboys, like, that is my three-star game because everything's on the line. I kind of think the Chiefs are going to win that game easily. Like, I just could see America's team folding on the national stage. You know, we're not going to think we're going to see Dak Prescott on the sidelines eating turkey legs because they're not going up against a terrible Commanders defense. That Chiefs defense is legit. I think that Chiefs defense is going to force a few turnovers by Dak Prescott. We'll see what we get from Patrick Mahomes, though. He, again, I say this, he is the worst goat, it seems like, in the history of goats, because he makes so many bad plays and then has to put on the cape. He forces himself to be Superman, it seems like. Like, why were they down 20-9 in the fourth quarter and have to come all the way back against the Indianapolis Colts? Yeah, because he had thrown a bad interception and had not been accurate on third down. But then the fourth quarter comes, and his team scores 11 points. They come from behind to win. It's just, it's the weirdest thing. I don't know what kind of Mahomes we'll get. I know we'll get a clutch one if it gets to the fourth quarter and it's a close game. Will he deliver in the first half? I think that's what it's going to take for Kansas City to get the win. Dan Quinn, head coach for the Washington Commanders, just sat down and spoke with the media ahead of today's practice in Ashburn as they prepare for Sunday night football. We'll hear from the coach coming up next on the Richmond Commander. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It's been a difficult season for the Washington Commanders. But, you know, you finish the fight, and that's what's important to me over the final, you know, six games of the season, is that I do see some fight, like Jeremy was talking about with his Giants, some fight in every single game. Of course, I'm locked into the defensive side of the ball to see what kind of difference and improvements Dan Quinn makes as he has taken over play-calling duties on the defensive side of the ball. Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, it is the Richmond Commander, all things Commanders, right here on The Fan.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, boss?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
So I'm so tired of arguing about whether or not Jaden Daniels should play or not. Your head coach, Dan Quinn, told you he needs to. There's only 17 of these games. It is your best chance to improve, your best chance to develop as a passer. Playing the most difficult position in the most difficult sport, you need to play. So we're not arguing about Jaden Daniels playing or not. I think the talk is, what kind of performance are we going to get against Denver? Where are the effort levels at? And what do we get from the first and second year players that we need to decide by the end of the season? Who are the building blocks of this organization for the future? I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Head coach Dan Quinn spoke to the media today before practice. Let's take a listen.
Big part in playing well, and it takes reps, and you build those habits and your reps together over and over and over. And when the game comes, you get to say, man, let's go right back to what we did in practice. Go right back to that. So the coach side of me, that fires me up to have a full crew ready to get working. And so also welcome to NFL Films, who'll be with us for a while. So if anybody's interested in a cameo, let me know. I know a guy, so we will get rolling. So now we can get it into gear.
Just to clarify, does that mean like Terry Noah, are they full go this week?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know about, but they're practicing.
Okay. All right. For you, with all these guys back and all that, obviously 6 games left, a lot of things that maybe you want to play for, a little bit harder to attain now, but what is the value for you guys in just having a really strong finish to build off of?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I told the team, for a year and a half, we're building something good. The only way it's going to be great is if you find these standards and find the details, John, to take it to the next space and take it to the next space. It's not something that you just turn on and off like a faucet. And so missing the mark on some, that bothers you, that pisses you off, and you want to fix it, you want to correct it. And so that's what it looks like to me, to throw excellent weeks and having a day like today to start it. You throw a good Wednesday, you throw a good Thursday and Friday, and like, of course that carries over into the game. Then you can lean back and say, okay, yeah, I can do just what we did in practice. So that's why I'm so excited to get the reps and the full speed work with everybody and build that continuity, because that, it makes a difference and it helps, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
Bear with me on this one. With the defense building off of the Miami game, what can you take from that game to build off of? And then, I guess, along with that, with Frankie Louvu, the pass rush numbers, we can look at the numbers and say they're not the same as last year, but what are you seeing from him, and what do you want to see from him going forward?
Well, I think first at linebacker, like, you want to see guys that can tackle, play square or tough, can impact the game. So that part, that's what I'm looking for first, at that spot. The added value is the rushing, the blitzing. We've rushed him more as a DN as opposed to blitzing. And sometimes that's just by necessity, John. And so, you've had it all the way you want, you bring him from off the ball and do that more often, but that's where we are. And I'm very pleased with him. He's absolutely established himself as one of the leaders here, high standards of things we want to get done. I do love his versatility, and having all the extra work on the edge will pay dividends, but the guy's got real natural instincts, and I can't say that, in years to come, we'll be more off and blitzing, possibly. But until then, like, this is how we get down. I liked the intensity that I saw, especially down in some of the red zone stuff. I liked the communication, to limit the explosive plays. That's a big deal, John. So that's, a few of the things I want to see. And heading into this game, that's going to be an important piece for us to make sure, man, right spot, right location, and, like, really nailing your job, not – most of the time, like every time, like, that's to me the over and over and over, and that's why I'm excited about the continuity and the reps together.
And what's the ramp up for Jaden this week in terms of getting him closer to playing?
Yeah, and some of that, it's nice, David, because of the continuity. It's Noah, it's Terry, it's Debo, it's Trayvon, and getting extra turns with some of those guys. We kind of scripted even some for specific routes for specific players, so we can dig in hard on that. And so it'll be a challenging good week to push, but it's more about the timing, the execution in the passing game from the specific side for him and game plan. There's some specific things we want to work on, but today's goal, man, let's get throwing with those guys and find that timing and that edge.
With the receiver room, obviously Terry can take the top off, and Noah's a great possession receiver, but how do their presence also help you on the tunnel screens and some of the other stuff that you do with the receivers?
Yeah, it's one of the areas that we want to do, because when obviously Debo's another factor in that, and so when you have three in connection doing it all, that's a difference, as opposed to watch for this one player doing this one thing. And that's what I look to see, where Terry has a factor in that, Debo has a factor in that, who's got vertical shots, all three of them can now. So having the ability for Debo now to play all the multiple spots, that's going to be an advantage as well. And so Terry will be able to play both right and left as well. So that's what we intend to do. And then be part of the whole thing. I want to make sure hitting the right marks, throwing the right practices. So it's not like a wide open, throw to him. But, integrate everybody together.
Hi, Coach. You mentioned that it's exciting for you as a coach to have that continuity back with more players on the field. I'm curious what the energy has been like from the players in the locker room and in the meetings this week as they start to get back out there together.
Yeah. Players-wise, you can feel that energy, too. Seeing some of their teammates coming back, that's a big deal. It started on Monday, I felt, coming back. That was probably the first time we had, a bigger group together for a practice for the entire season. So that was a big step forward. And then let's carry it into the week. We like the competitions. We like what that means. And so we just wanted to, just focus in on this time, this moment. If you're really going to have a standard, it's day by day, but it's really even moment by moment. It's the next play. It's the next series. It's that practice. And so that's what we're going to chase hard. I want these guys to find the details together. And if we do that again and again, that's when kind of the fun stuff begins. But we've got to put that work in to do that. It's very important for us to find that.
And you've described Jaden as this really high energy competitor. What have your conversations been like with him over the past few weeks as you balance getting him back on the field while also not trying to rush that process?
Yeah, the part of him, the rehab part first, that's where you start. And so it's not going to be this way forever when you're, in a sling and not doing well. And so then here's the next step. What's the next marker? And practice is the next one. And so when you hit the next steps, a little more enthusiasm, a little more momentum, you're knowing where the next thing can come. And so that's an important piece. And so all of us in life, sometimes we're looking all the way down the road and let's get to the next step and to the next step. And we're not gonna miss any with him. We all know the importance of him and the franchise. So we're not gonna miss any steps. But this is also a developing football player that is hungry to get back, and we're hungry to help him become the player that he's going to become. And that's a really cool thing.
Dan, it seemed like against the Dolphins, the rushing attack got going for you guys a little bit more than the weeks past. What's kind of the key to continuing that against a pretty tough run defense this week in the Broncos?
Yeah, it's going to be important. You heard me say the run actions, the screens, those are the things that can set you forward. And it takes work to do that. I've been pleased by some of the progress that I saw in that. And going into it, that'll be high value, not just this week, but moving forward. If you want to have a good balanced attack, all right, run the ball well, because now you're able to have more balance because of play actions and other things that can go with it. So it's an important part of what we do, not for this week or last week, but just it's really important that this is how we want to get down, and knowing that we need the work, we need the timing, all of it. So yeah, we're excited to do that.
Is this week. What has his absence kind of meant for this defense, and kind of the flip side is what will his return bring to the defense?
I'll start on the return side. For him, Will is a really good communicator. This is like a hungry competitor. So I've liked that part about him. He's got good football awareness, Tom, because his background, he played corner, he's played nickel, he played safety. So some guys can, see this way, and Will can expand the vision to see other things, to give the alerts to other players. So he did a good job even during the rehab process. He was involved. He was in meetings. And so after his surgery, he was a couple weeks out in L.A., and then he came right back, I think, after our trip from L.A., and that's when we began the process, him being in the meetings together. So we like what he communicates like. We like the hitting that he brings and the competitive style that he has.
Dan, last year this team was so good playing at home. This year, you've lost three in a row at home. How important is it to kind of reestablish that identity of, playing at home and having that home field advantage?
Yeah, it's super important. And we love the energy that our fans have created at home. And so as a team, we need to repay that. We need to get that part back. And we had been good at home previously, and so started the season that way. And so we've got to get that done. That's very important for us as a team. To show that gratitude for the fan base and the energy that they poured into the team. We are desperate to pay that back to them.
Another player getting back, Deron Payne.
From Dan Quinn, as the Commanders have three home games left, it would feel good to at least win those three and maybe finish out the season with a 3-3 record. some kind of momentum into next season. It did feel like, from hearing Dan Quinn there, that this team has not had many good weeks of practice this year. And it makes sense. Training camp, no Terry McLaurin. All right, week one, we have our guys. And then we don't after week two. And then we don't after week three. And we continue to lose meaningful pieces every week. Dietrich Wise, Austin Eckler, Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown. And the more guys that fell, the less the team was improving at practice. I mean, I think that's what Dan Quinn was pointing to here, is like, we've got to put together great weeks of practice to make sure that we have a great game. And I think that's what's been missing, and maybe that's why some of these close games this team was winning all of last year, they have lost. The intensity on defense last week before the bye against the Dolphins improved. They were eliminating explosive plays, and they got red zone stops. That's absolutely what we need to see again on Sunday Night Football, Week 13, November 30th, when they take on the Denver Broncos. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It is an abbreviated version of AWOD Radio today because we've got to head to the Battle for Atlantis. VCU Hoops tip-off at 2:30. Good Feet Store tip-off show begins just before 1:45 here on 910 The Fan. The Rams will take on South Florida. If they win, they would take on the winner of Vanderbilt against Western Kentucky. Those undefeated teams are matching up right now in the Battle for Atlantis in the ballroom. It is Vanderbilt 45, Western Kentucky 37, with 17 minutes to play. Anytime you hear Enter Sandman, you know that means we're going to talk Hokies. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline for the Cowan Gates Hokies Update, play-by-play voice of the Hokies, Bill Roth. What's up, Bill?
Well, we're excited. You know, the Hokies have the Hokies are at a Battle for Atlantis, too. They're the game right after VCU today. And hopefully the two teams will win and have a chance to play. As we talked last week, it's tough if Tech and VCU have to go all the way to another country to play a men's basketball game. Hopefully both teams play well today.
Yeah, I mean, we are certainly hoping that the Rams and the Hokies would meet in the finals, and I could get my first look at Nicholas Avdalis. I mean, how impressed have you been with this kid?
He's as interested in a player the Tech had in a long time. He's an experienced European player, and I think that as the season goes on and he gets more influx with American basketball, the rules of the college game, and then Mike Young's system, he's going to be really good. And also really excited. They're 5-1. They got a couple of nice wins, but I know that Atlantis, like Maui, be on the last games, but it's a great opportunity to not only get some sun and fun in the Caribbean, but to play pretty good basketball teams on the neutral court.
Bill Roth with us here for the Cowan Gates Hokies update. Bill, it is going to be an awesome environment, and I know you wish it was in Blacksburg, but I'm very much looking forward to this Saturday for all the marbles, the Commonwealth clash between UVA and Virginia Tech. What's your game preview?
Well, it's interesting because they need to win to get to the ACC championship game, and they've only beaten the Hokies one time in 20 years, and it's a really interesting series because Tech's really dominated in recent times. Virginia Tech had a really good season. They've got a perfect team. Hokies, you know, they're 3-8. They're kind of limping to Charlottesville, but I think we throw out the records. Is that too much of a cliche? I think we throw out the records, and the weight of history and the pressure to win is clearly on the UVA side. But they've got a really good team.
Bill, we got to call you back real quick, try to get a better connection here. Jeremy's going to call you. We'll get Bill Roth back on the line here for the Cowan Gates Hokies update ahead of Virginia Tech against Virginia Saturday for all the marbles from Scott Stadium. And, you know, although the Hoos have had such an impressive season led by quarterback Chandler Morris and running back Jamari Taylor, I do think that there's a lot of excitement in Blacksburg right now with the addition of James Franklin coming in to take over this program. And I think you've seen, at least from what I've seen, a re-energized Hokies fan base and re-energize Hokies' locker room. I mean, these guys are, they're putting tape together for other schools, but also for the new head coach, James Franklin, for him to want them to stick around. And there's certainly a lot of talent on this roster that the Hokies have here. Even though it's been a disappointing season, I mean, there are certainly a amount of guys that feel like they could be building blocks of the James Franklin era starting next year. And I think that has to include running back Jeff Overton. I've loved what I've seen from him so far this season. So UVA against Virginia Tech, Saturday night. You'll hear it right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So Bill Roth, we're tracking him down. Jeremy, let me know when you get Bill back on the line here so we could go back to him. But, like, this is one of the most important Commonwealth clashes we've had in a while. And, of course, the Hokies have dominated this cup here, but we haven't had it where it feels like there's this much on the line in at least a few years. Bill, how do you feel like the excitement is building for this competition here on Saturday?
Well, I think, I'm sorry we had a bad connection there. I do think the pressure is on Virginia, and they, if they lose this game, I mean, imagine the taste for their program if it loses to Tech. This is the one year that Virginia is a double-digit favorite at home. You know, the last time it's been, you have to go back to 1991, the last time the UVA was ranked and Tech wasn't.
Wow.
They played in this game. So it's, and that's a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the Robinson injury is interesting because the Hokies have really run the ball really well the last couple of weeks. They lost both in Tallahassee and at home to Miami, but they put up some big rushing numbers on the ground. And Virginia's down its best defensive player. And, I mean, we know the Hokies, they're dead last in the ACC in completed passes. They're just going to try to run the ball and try to win the turnover battle, and that's Tech's recipe to win. Defensively, the Hokies have been really inconsistent, and they've had a hard time getting stops. But offensively, Tech's clearly going to try to run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so with you there. When we talked about it earlier this week, we said, like, as much as the Hokies have struggled, the rushing attack has not struggled, and it's the combination of drones with multiple backs that can really run the ball. I think defensively for the Hokies, I'll be looking at their pass rush to see if they can get into the face of Chandler Morris.
Yeah, I mean, they've not been able to do that the last 2 weeks in Tallahassee or last week to Beck. I don't think the Hokies had a quarterback hurry, let alone a sack. And, you know, they lost so many good defensive players that opted out once Pry was fired. Hokies have only forced 6 turnovers all season, and they've only recovered 2 fumbles. That's almost inconceivable. They have 4 interceptions and 2 fumble recoveries for the season. So they've not done a good job in creating turnovers because they're playing too many freshmen. They got 12 young freshmen who are playing that probably wouldn't be playing if those kids hadn't opted out. But they're playing with great effort, and you know the Hokies are going to play great. There's going to be a lot of Tech fans up there on Saturday night, and it's always fun. You know, it's a great way to end the year, and it's kind of a Thanksgiving tradition. You got a lot of turkey on Thursday, and the Hokies and Hoos on Saturday. So we're looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to the cold weather in an open air radio booth. The press box at Virginia is all open air, so it's going to be chilly for us. But it's always fun to go up there to play.
Yeah, and I want to repeat that fun fact that you mentioned. 1991, the last time UVA was ranked and Virginia Tech wasn't, heading up into this matchup here. The pressure is all on UVA. I mean, that fan base has got to feel like if they don't win this one, they'll never win it.
Well, there's probably something to that. I mean, the Hokies forever could not beat Florida State. I think it was like 16 or 18 straight games against Bowden. They had beaten Florida State. And then when Bobby Bowden got there, I think they lost like the first 18 games. Mm. And now, not a lot of people were beating Florida State, you know, back in the 90s. But when they finally broke through and they finally beat FSU, it was huge. And clearly a berth in the championship game is on the line. So Virginia's got everything to play for here. But for the UVA team, there's more than bragging rights, clearly, for Virginia. It's a postseason championship game berth and in Charlotte next week.
Absolutely. And before we let you go, your thoughts on the latest college football playoff rankings?
Well, as we talked about last week, all of a sudden Miami's loss to SMU wasn't a bad loss, and they moved up a couple of spots. I think it's really interesting to see where Miami lands, because now they're within 3 slots of Notre Dame, and the committee, and they beat Notre Dame head to head. And last week the committee said, well, if you're in 3 spots, we'll go to head to head. So I think a couple of things. Number one, Notre Dame fans and Vanderbilt fans, anybody that's on the bubble is really cheering for Pitt to beat Miami on set. Up at Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh. If Miami wins that game and it's 10-2, and you know that overtime loss to SMU doesn't look so bad now, and if Auburn beats Alabama Saturday night, I was reading in the paper today that Alabama is 1-4 in Auburn at night all time. So while the Hokies are playing UVA, Bama and Auburn are going to be playing in the. Yeah, Miami fans, first of all, Miami needs to beat Pitt. That would be really good for our league and to get a second team in the playoff.
Absolutely. And look, I think it all comes down to like how they win also. A blowout victory would look really good for the Hurricanes. Always appreciate the time, Bill. Thanks so much.
Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and everybody in Richmond. Enjoy this is the official holiday of the Hokies, you know, so enjoy it and celebrate, and we'll see you in Charlottesville.
That sounds
Bahama
good.
Bahamas today, Charlottesville Saturday.
Absolutely. That is the play-by-play voice of Virginia Tech football, Bill Roth. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local, here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, like I told you guys yesterday, this is going to be an abbreviated version of AWOD Radio. We're broadcasting live from our flagship studios of 910 The Fan, and then I will head out and head into the VCU Basketball Rams Unlimited studios here on 910 The Fan for the VCU Basketball pregame show and the Good Feet Store tip-off show coming up at 1:45. Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. We close the show by spotlighting the biggest sporting event of the night on The Fan.
Every day on AWOD Radio is game day, home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on game day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like game day in this game day. We are the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Game day. Game day.
Game day has to be feast week going around the country here, nonstop college basketball. Jeremy, did you watch any of the games last night? You had Villanova defeat Old Dominion. You had that UCLA-Cal game was awesome, went down to the wire. Did you watch college basketball yesterday?
I watched a little bit of Houston-Tennessee, a heavyweight battle between those two ranked teams. Tennessee came out with a passion in that second half. They looked like they were going to lose another one to Houston, but they came out and got it in the end. That was a big game.
Michigan blew past Auburn 102-72. And, you know, it's been interesting. I saw that there's only been, like, two upsets between teams in the top 25 and an opponent not in the top 25 this season. I think that's the way we're trending in college basketball. Less and less upsets with the NIL and the transfer portal. These teams that have the money and the SEC, they are loaded. I mean, it's just kind of unfair in some of these matchups. But, of course, today we will have all eyes on the battle for Atlantis with VCU South Florida. Virginia Tech is in the Bahamas. They will play in the night game against Colorado State. But, Jeremy, last night was the college football playoff 12-team reveal and the latest top 25. And, of course, I was disappointed. But you are a Duke. What were your thoughts?
I was disappointed for sure. I mean, I kind of knew it was coming. Like Michael was saying, nothing changed this week. Tulane didn't lose. JMU won. Everybody took care of business. That wasn't going to change. I just, more than JMU, I was more surprised by the committee saying they really like eye test. And they like eye test more than they like head-to-head.
Yeah.
But you can't do an eye test if you're not watching all the games. And I do not for a second believe that they have watched a Group of Five game all season. I just really don't think they have.
Yeah, and I was Team Booger McFarland last night. Like, what is the eye test when you play head-to-head? Like, you don't need to give me an eye test. I watched that game for 40 minutes, and we know who the better football team was. It was Miami on that particular day. I don't care that it was week one or week two. Head-to-head should be the most important thing in college football. It should be the most important thing in sports, especially when you actually get that matchup. And then the other thing is, well, what about common opponents? Like, it's just, I get what you're saying about the eye test, but to me, the head-to-head is the ultimate eye test in college football. There are a lot of games being played on Friday this week, because this is the last time you'll hear the voices of me and Jeremy on AWOD Radio. Is there a college football game you'll be locked into this weekend?
This weekend, I mean, it's hard to look past rivalry week, right? You have the Commonwealth Cup, obviously, on Saturday. The game, as they call it, between Michigan and Ohio State, with lots of playoff potential in there for both of those teams. There's a lot to like, a lot of big teams going on the road. I think we might see a crazy week this week with lots of top 10 teams going down.
Absolutely. I will be locked in to Friday at 3:30 on ABC, Georgia, Georgia Tech. What did that go, six overtimes?
It was a lot of overtimes. It was a game of the year kind of candidate last year.
Yeah, and Georgia Tech, I wonder, it feels like they're done, all right, at 9-2. But if they beat Georgia, how high can they climb up the standings here? I mean, they probably can't see them. I can't really see them getting into the ACC title game unless UVA loses to Virginia Tech, Pitt loses also, and then I guess they would get in and take on SMU. But it's going to be very interesting. If Georgia Tech beats Georgia, what does the committee then say about the ACC as a whole? Is that enough to sneak a second team in? Doesn't seem likely with the fact that Georgia Tech just lost to Pitt, but I'll have my eyes on that one for sure. College basketball all day long, and with the NFL, three games on Thursday and a Black Friday game. Let's get in our survivor pool pick here before we take off for the Good Feed Store tip-off show. What did you lock in your survivor pick?
I think I'm going to stick with the Chargers here. I was between them and the 49ers against the Browns, but Myles Garrett is having a sack fest right now, and Brock Purdy just threw three interceptions. I'm not trusting that team. I'm going with the Chargers this week.
Yeah, I was shocked when Owen submitted his pick of the Miami Dolphins, but I understand the trend of bet against the New Orleans Saints. It seems to be bet against the Saints, bet against the Raiders. You'll survive in the survivor pool. For Jay Money running the ones and twos, thanks to Bill Roth, Michael Phillips, and Rodney Ashby for joining us today. The Good Feed Store tip-off show and VCU basketball via Rams Unlimited is coming up next.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma's designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, Let's go places.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.